أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وعلى جميع من سار على نهجه ومن واله. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وفي بداية هذا المجلس أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش الكريم أن يجزي إخوة الفضلاء الذين اللقاء بخير وأفضل ما يكون به الأجر والجزاء. أسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا بكم في جنات النعيم، وأن يحسن العاقبة برحمته يا أرحم الراحمين. As one of the series of this program, which is Jihad Week, today inshallah, in Allah's infinite mercy, we are going to listen to one of the most important lectures which will be delivered by one of our eloquent scholars in person of Malam Ibrahim Abu Nasir. And my attention is drawn that for those probably who had the intention of taking Malam in video clips, so the Malam, he vehemently disliked it. So please, we should please and kindly abstain from doing it, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you for cooperation. So inshallah, the topic today is the biography of Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. And I know some of us, this is their first time of hearing this name, Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Please, who is this Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi? If you don't know, you learn from Malam, inshallah ta'ala. And if you know, then you know more, inshallah ta'ala. So I will quickly hand over the mic to our guest lecturer. We pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see him through, and may he guide him to the right path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And initially, it was only 1 hour that was given to Malam. But I, with the power conferred to me, I now gives him the opportunity to exhaust his time, even if it takes to 2 o'clock a.m. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon the members of his respected household, and upon all those who follow his footsteps until the day of Qiyamah. Thereafter, we greeted ourselves in the best of manners, the way we shall greet and be greeted in Al-Jannah. May Allah count each and every one of us from the adherents of Al-Jannah. We say that the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one of us. Ameen. We are asked to discuss the seerah, the biography of Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi alayhi rahmatullah was from amongst the Tabi'un. He is from the Tabi'un, from those who took from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he is from those that the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that is reported by Al-Imam al-Darimi in his Sunan with an authentic chain of narration verified by many scholars of hadith, that he said alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi, wa tuba liman ra'a man ra'ani," alayhi salatu wa salam. The Prophet said, "Tuba bitta," he said, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi." Tuba has many meanings that the scholars of hadith have given to it. Some say it is the name of a valley in Al-Jannah. Some say it is the name of a shade in Al-Jannah. Some say it is the name of a part of Al-Jannah. In any case, it has to do with being inside Al-Jannah. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi." He said, "This, the glad tidings of this tuba in Al-Jannah for the one who ra'ani wa amana bi, the one who met me, who is from my companions." Ru'ya does not only mean ru'ya til ayn, yani bi aynay ra'sihi. It doesn't only mean that. Because people like the eminent companion, radiallahu anhu, Amr ibn Umm Maktum, or as you will, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, both names are reported in authentic narrations. Imma Abdullah, Imma Amr. He was blind, radiallahu anhu. He doesn't see. So if you limit the interpretation of man ra'ani to mean only those with the eyes on their heads, it would mean he's not from them, and he is from them, radiallahu anhu. He was his muhaddin, radiallahu anhu, and he represented, waited for him when he went for Tabuk. He was led to Salah, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umm Maktum. Very eminent from the companions of Allah's Messenger, radiallahu anhu. So, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amanani," glad tidings of this place in Al-Jannah be for those who were my companions, who saw me, wa amanani, who were with me, and they believed in me. It was not everyone who saw the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that believed in him. So they saw him and believed in him. So seeing the Messenger alone does not suffice. If it does not suffice for those who were alive when the Prophet was alive, seeing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will never suffice for those who will claim to see the Prophet in their dreams when the Prophet is not now alive. Do we understand? He said, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi," glad tidings of Tuba, this place in Al-Jannah, for those who saw me and believed in me. Not just that they saw me, but they also believed. So seeing the Prophet alone does not suffice, alayhi salatu wasalam. But seeing him and believing in him, Abu Lahab, tabbat yada, Abi Lahabin, he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but lam yu'min bihi, ma amana bihi. He didn't believe in the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is not for him, because he saw him, but he didn't believe. So for those who claim now that they dream, the Sufiya, they say they dream, they saw the Prophet, summa madha, so what? Did you, hal amanta bihi? Have you believed in him rightly? So seeing the Prophet does not suffice, but seeing him and believing in him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa tuba liman ra'a man ra'ani. And the place in al-Jannah, for those who saw me, those are the tabi'un. The tabi'un, from among whom is Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Saqafi, is from those who saw the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter the extent of the sins of Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Saqafi, it does not and it will not imply that he should be cursed. It will not imply that he should be addressed improperly because of this dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why we must be cautious about Hajjaj bin Yusuf, because it's from among those who saw the companions, those who saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, acting upon what Allah said about believers, that Allah says that they say that رَبَّنَا غَفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, from those who made, who have, the virtue of Salafiyah over us is Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He came before us. So this dua, when we make dua for them, we are following the instructions of the Quran. So we pray for forgiveness for him. So say rahimahullah, despite the fact that he had errors, he had mistakes because of fitna. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was born in the 41st year after Hijrah. 41 years after Hijrah, Hajjaj bin Yusuf was born. And that year was the year of Jama'ah, the year that Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib handed over the Khilafah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And he is from Banu Saqif. Banu Saqif live in Ta'if. Ta'if is very close to Mecca. There are some of the people who say that Banu Saqif, they are from the remnants of those who were destroyed from the people of Nabi Saleh, some say Nabi Hud, that they lived in Ta'if, but they were destroyed. But the Quran in Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah makes us understand that none of them remains. All those people that Allah destroyed from Ad, Samud, and nobody remained except those who believed in those prophets. If they are aware, because in the case of Nabi Lut himself and his wife and the few daughters he had only believed. So it is difficult to believe that Banu Saqif are from Hud or from Ad, as the case may be, Allahu A'lam. But that is from where Hajjaj bin Yusuf was from. So he lived after 24 years, he became the leader of a group of soldiers, he fought and all these. He became the governor of Iraq for many years, and he killed over 120,000 people, Muslims. Hajjaj bin Yusuf killed over 120,000 people. 120,000, over that. Some of them were the children of companions. Some of them were the best people, like Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in, alayhi rahmatullah, said, regarding Imam Sa'id ibn Jubayr, who was the last person had Hajjaj killed. Al-Imam Yahya said, alayhi rahmatullah, that at the time, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said that at the time Sa'id ibn Jubayr was killed, there is no human being on earth except that he needed the knowledge of Sa'id ibn Jubayr. The time that Sa'id ibn Jubayr was killed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf, there is no human being on earth except that he needs the knowledge of Sa'id ibn Jubayr. But he was killed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf. But don't forget, all those killings, the Prophet had said, Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi wa tuba liman ra'a man ra'ani. So in as much as the sin was not shirk and kufr that takes somebody out of Islam, Allah forgives. So he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. So how do we know that Allah will forgive Hajjaj bin Yusuf? From this dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we do not make takfir of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. We do not say he's kafir. We will say yes, he led as a leader, as a zalim, and it resulted because of fitna that he killed a lot of people. So we ask Allah to forgive him, because Allah had commanded us, had told us about the attributes of the Muslims that they say regarding their brothers, that they should be forgiven, as we read from that verse from Surah Al-Hashr. So that is all about Hajjaj bin Yusuf. When the brother who gave me the invitation to this, Abu Abdan ibn Yusuf, talked to me, I said, what do you want about Hajjaj? Because all about Hajjaj is fitna. He was born into fitna, he died in fitna, he ruled in fitna, he himself was fatan. Everything was about fitna. What about Hajjaj, really? What about him? And what about his rule? So the brother said that it is the disposition of the companions to Hajjaj's rule, despite the fact that the rule was hard and harsh upon the people. How did the companions of Allah's Messenger, radiallahu anhum, alayhi salatu wasalam, how did they compose themselves? Some group of people came to Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri. Imam Hassan al-Basri is not Sahabi. Some group of people went to Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, Abu al-Abbas. And they said to him that they were going to Hajjaj. He said, don't go to him. If you go to him to fight him, he will kill all of you. And that is how it will be. People go to him, we don't see you, you did this video, he say, line them up. They cut off their heads. The last set of people that Hajjaj killed, he will say to them, Ishhad bi annaka kafarta. They swear that you were a kafir. Because the rioted, they came out in rebellion against him. Ishhad bi annaka kafarta. If you don't, that is that you should testify that you had become a kafir. If you do not testify, we kill you. So which of them is okay? Is it testifying that you were a kafir or allowing to be killed? For that, he killed over 60,000 people. 60,000, over that. So what we are saying is, despite all these fujur, people like Abu Huraira were alive. Radiallahu anhu. People like Anas bin Malik was alive. Abdullah ibn Abbas was alive. Many other companions. And then the Kibaru Tabi'in. People like Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri, Ibn Abil Asan. He was alive. They were preventing the people, don't go and fight Hajjaj. Don't go and fight Hajjaj. So the brother was saying that it is this disposition, because today, some of the Muslims feel that because rulers are oppressive, Muslim rulers and leaders, in parts of the world or where we live or something are oppressive, so they begin to make the fear of them just because they oppress people, just because they are bad, just because they commit sins, just because, think of it. So they say they are kuffar, they go out against them. So shut Allahu Akbar. And that was why when the brother was talking about the brother who introduced the program, he was shut Allahu Akbar. The companions never used to say that at the time of the Rasul alayhi salam. It's not a good way to do something. The companions, ma kanu yaf'aluna dhalik. They never used to do that. The Prophet was saying, Allah, Allah, they never used to do that. But it is common with us. It is common, but it's wrong. And things like that, they never used to do that. The companion Anas bin Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that when the Prophet addressed us, we keep quiet. You will think as if there are beds on the head of each of us. The way we'll be silent. You think that beds are on the heads of each of us. The way we are going to be silent, listening to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So who there will say, Allah, Allah, Allah. Nobody will say that. There is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that they were going for a battle with the Rasul alayhi salam. Some people say, no, Prophet said, keep quiet. The one you call subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami'un Qareeb. He hears and he's near, you do not need to shout. So ulama say it is wrong when people go out for jihad, they start shouting, Allahu Akbar, it's wrong. So enduring more evil is wrong. When you are going for jihad, it's wrong. So from where do we get it? So I told the brother that the issue with Hajjaj bin Yusuf and the companions of Allah's Messenger, radiallahu anhum, is the issue of mu'amalatu wulatil umur, mu'amalatul hukam. How do Muslims deal with their leaders? That is the issue. How do you deal with the leaders? How do you relate with them? How do you deal with them? In the first place, who are the leaders of Muslims? When should they be, rebelled against? Should they even be rebelled against? Should they be rebelled against them? When they are oppressive, what should the Muslim do? When the Muslim leader is oppressive, beating people, killing people, like Hajjaj did, rahimahullah, what should the Muslims do? Like some people will say, are you saying we should just fold our arms and be looking? Is that what they will do? Or they will go out and roll the tanks on the streets and start fighting the leaders and all this. What should the Muslims do? So we thought that we should discuss Hajjaj bin Yusuf within this, having known who Hajjaj was and that he lived in fitna. How are these issues? What should we understand regarding them, inshallah? To do that, we'll go to one of the imams who lived in the time also of one of the worst leaders, or some of the worst leaders that also ever led the Muslims. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani, alayhi rahmatullah, Abu Abdullah. He lived over a period when we had about four or five leaders, beginning from Harun Rashid and his children, Ma'mun, Muwassaq Billah, and all those. So what did he say, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal? What did he say regarding how to deal with the people? That's by the fact that he also lived at the time when the leaders were oppressive. At the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, those people who were targeted directly to be killed were the scholars. We know the fitna of Khalqul Quran. The fitna that some people came to say that the Quran is a creature of Allah. We remember this fitna, I'm sure it would have been discussed. The fitna of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Some people came in history after reading books of philosophy, people like Ma'mun, and they began, and that was led by people like Bishr al-Marisi, Ibn Abi Du'ad, and the rest of them, that the Quran is created. It's not the word of Allah. And that if you consider the word of Allah, it's the creation of Allah. What does it mean? It means as a creature, it is subject to change. It is subject to change. So if they do something, you say, no, Allah says this. They say, no, this is a creature of Allah. It can change. So this should change now. They were philosophizing with the Quran. So that fitna started. So they got the leaders, Ma'mun, got the leaders, the scholars, to be saying that the Quran was created. So when they asked them, Al-Quran makhluk aw ghayru makhluk, is the Quran created or not created? If it says the Quran was not created, if it says Al-Quran kalamullah ghayr makhluk, his head should be cut off. One of the scholars who did the work, Minhaj al-Ahmad, an ashab al-Imam Ahmad, he was saying in the Muqaddim of the book, while talking about Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, that some of the scholars, when they say the Quran was not created, they were sawed into two. So that was the kind of leadership under which Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal lived. He himself was flogged, was beaten many times. In many times he prayed inside his lodge. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the day he was to be flogged, It was announced that the people who had the power to flog elephants should come out, and his people came out. They flogged Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They flogged Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal until he fell down like being fainted. So many of these things are reported in the books of history of Islam. So we are saying Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal lived also at the time of an oppressive leader. So it would be nice. And despite that, he had words regarding how to deal with the leader. So we'd like to pick from his book, Usul al-Sunnah. What did he say about Mu'amalatu Wulat al-Umur? And the evidences regarding that. And who actually are the leader? How should we deal with them when they become oppressive? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, Abu Abdullah, he says, وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. He says, the Muslim, it is obligatory upon him to hear and obey the leaders of the Muslims, and those who are in authority of the Muslims. They are a'imma and those in authority. A'imma, the ulama, those in authority, those in charge of their administration. Sometimes they combine the both of them. We do not forget that when Allah says, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولُوا الْأَمْرُ مِنْكُمْ, the ulama say, أُولُوا الْأَمْرُ, they are the umara and the ulama. So when they come differently, a'imma wa umara, like this, we understand the a'imma to mean the scholars. We understand the umara to mean the leaders who manage the administrative affairs of the Muslims. Sometimes they come together. But even between the scholars and those who have the administrative authority, those who have the administrative authority have the scholars under them. The scholars are under those who are the umara. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. This Amir of the Muslims, whether he is Barr, that is from the Abrar, from the pious people, or he is a Fajr, it is the right of the Muslim. The Muslim has the right, it is his duty, so to speak, to follow this Amir. He says, وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةِ وَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ وَرَضُوا بِهِ. And anyone who takes position of authority amongst the Muslims, وَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ, and the people agree that this is our leader, we are coming back to that inshallah, وَرَضُوا بِهِ, and they appeal to him, yes, it's our leader. It is for the Muslim to have a samu and ta'a for these people. وَمَنْ غَلَبَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى صَارَ خَلِيفَةً وَسُمِّيَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Not only the one that they are pleased with, that yes, it's our leader. وَمَنْ غَلَبَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ. If someone comes and says, look, I'm the leader of the Muslims, anybody who contests leadership with him, I kill him. So he goes ahead with his soldier, fights people, and in the end, he became their leader, he is their leader. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, وَمَنْ غَلَبَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى صَارَ خَلِيفَةً وَسُمِّيَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He came, he fought them, harassed them, and in the end, he became the Khalifa of the Muslims. He is from their Khulafa. They should have some for him, and they should have ta'a for him. They listen to him, and they should obey him. He says, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is obligatory upon the Muslims to listen to and obey the leaders of the Muslims. الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ, whether that leader is a pious person leading with justice and equity amongst the Muslims or not, or is from those who are oppressive, hard and difficult upon the Ummah. وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةِ, and those who become, who take the position of authority and leadership also. وَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ, and the people agree upon his leaders, they come up under him. وَرَضُوا بِهِ, they are pleased with his leading them. Not only that, they are pleased with him. وَمَنْ غَلَبَهُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ, so also they should do to those who become leaders over them because of superior arsenal. Hatta sara khalifatan. He had superior authority, so he fought them until he became their leader. Was summiya amir al-mu'minin. And they agree, yes, he's the amir. Because if he come out and say, no, it's not the amir, he will kill you. And he had overruled every person. He had overpowered every person. So everybody listens to him. He is the amir. He is the amir. So the question is, from where do we have the evidences to say that this statement is correct? Since it is not a verse of the Quran, nor is it a hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What are the evidences that say that the Muslims must obey the leader, whether the leader aspires or not? The first hadith we'll quote is the hadith of Abu Huraira, Abdurrahman ibn Sakh, Hafiz al-Ummah, radiyallahu anhu. In it, the Prophet Muhammad said, alayhi salatu wa salam, من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله. من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله. Anyone who obeys me, he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومن يعصني فقد عصى الله. And anyone who disobeys me, the Prophet said so, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومن يطع الأميرة فَقَدْ أَطَاعَنِي. Anyone who obeys the Amir has obeyed me. وَمَنْ عَصَى الْأَمِيرِ أَوْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ الْأَمِيرِ فَقَدْ عَصَانِي. And the one who disobeys the Amir has disobeyed me. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Al-Imam Muslim reported the hadith, Ibn al-Hajjaj. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if you obey me, you obey Allah. So if you obey my leader, the one that is the Amir, if you obey the Amir of the Muslims, you have obeyed me. If you obey me, you obey Allah. So he has linked, alayhi salatu wasalam, between obedience of Allah and obedience to the Amir. Do we understand? So that means the Muslim has the duty to obey the Amir. And he does not have the right to disobey the Amir. In the second hadith, also from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, alayka as-sab'u wa ta'atu. You have the right, you have the duty, it is your responsibility to obey, to listen to the Amir and obey him. Fi usrika, at the time of difficulty, things are difficult, the Amir is hard upon you, obey the Amir. Wa yusrika, things are easy. Everybody is enjoying himself. Good, there's light, there's water, there's electricity, there's water, there is food for the people, there is work. Fi usrika wa yusrika, when these things are there and when they are not there. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, alayka sam'u wa ta'a. You have the responsibility to listen to the Amir and obey him. He said also, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa man shafika wa makrahika. You also have the duty to obey the Amir. When you have the mashah, I feel like doing something, obey him. Wa makrahika, I don't feel like doing this thing, obey him. Subhanallah. Things are difficult on you, obey the Amir. You find things easy, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, obey the Amir. You like to do something, he says, obey the Amir. You don't like to do the thing, the Prophet said, obey the Amir, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he counted all these things. And he now said, wa asaratin alayk. The Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, even when they oppress you, even when the leaders, asaratin alayk, they compel you, they have compelling effects on you, he say, obey the Amir. This hadith is also reported by an Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah, in his sahih. The third hadith we like to read on this is the hadith this time reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayhi. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَثَرَةٌ إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَثَرَةٌ He says, surely, when I leave, you will find difficulty. Al-Imam Muslim, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Abu Zakariya, wala Zakariya lahu. Al-Imam al-Nawawi is called Abu Zakariya, but he doesn't have Zakariya. He didn't have any child, rahimahullah, Muhyiddin al-Nawawi. He says, alayhi rahmatullah, that atharatun is isti'isar al-umara bi amwal al-bayt. When the leaders, they make use of the wealth of the populace, general wealth. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِ أَثَرَةُ مِنِنْ A time shall come after me, people will be pillaging wrongfully the wealth of the people. So people will go to the end, they have PTDF accounts, they have FPTD accounts, they have this account, they have the electricity, they take the billions. The Prophet said these things will happen, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing about that is, it proves it is from the nubu'at of the Prophet Muhammad, or nubu'at of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. It shows it's a nabi. He said these things will happen, and we are seeing it right here. It had happened before, even before now. He said these things will happen. People will take the money belonging to people. He now said, wa umurun tunkirunaha. You will also find affairs that you dislike. Why are Muslims doing this? Why is the leader doing this? Why was Hajjaj bin Yusuf oppressive? Why was he oppressive? Why was he killing the people? People like Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, it is reported that he has over 136 children. His children, his own children, and the children of his children, they are over 136. Over that, Anas bin Malik. It is reported that he said someday that he does not know how many of them were killed by Hajjaj. So the Prophet said, Tumkirunaha, why will Hajjaj do this? Well, would Muslims do that? So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Qalu, kayfa ta'muru man adraka minna zalik? The companions asked, radiallahu anhum, kayfa ta'mur? What do you command? What do you advise those amongst us who will be alive when this kind of a thing will happen? And the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to adun al haqq alladhi alaykum wa tas'aluna Allah alladhi lakum. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to adun al haqq alladhi alaykum, you should fulfill the responsibilities that is over you. The responsibility the state has over you. You have zakah to pay the zakah. You have to go for jihad. You have this responsibility. It is announced, do this, you have to do it. If you have to do that, you have to do this, do it. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, to adun al-haqq alladhi alaykum. There are rights over you, fulfill it. وَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ Ask Allah for your own, if the people refuse to give it to you. So the Prophet had described a ruler that is oppressive, that is stealing the money of the people, that is even perhaps killing the people, that is doing all kinds of things. They asked, what should we do? He didn't say, go out, start shouting on the street. Hello, subhanallah, subhanallah. Oh, oh, oh. That the Muslims have become of this today. So the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, to adun al-haqq alladhi alaykum, fulfill the duties that is upon you, wa tas'aluna Allah alladhi lakum, ask Allah for your rights. So you see, people want to call you now that there is need for jihad. Who are you fighting? You want to go and fight the government? They didn't provide electricity. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. Didn't the Prophet say, is'alu Allah alladhi lakum? This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Did the Prophet not say, is'alu Allah alladhi lakum? Ask Allah for your right. So they call out the people. They roll out the tanks. The government says, if you see them on the street, kill them. when June 12 was annulled, some people came out and said, we no go agree. The man in authority then said, roll out the tanks. Kill some of them so that the population will reduce. They thought he was joking. They rolled out the tanks. Some people came out, they shoot some people. They say, 48 people die in the riot. He said, kill more. They say, 12 people that say, kill more. Later, the people started coming out for the riot. So because, and then the people begin to curse them. May Allah destroy them. They say, we will use this minbar to curse you. You curse him, he becomes more hard-hearted. So he has stolen 10 billion before. You curse him, he steals 100 billion. So how is that? So which one benefits the people? So actually, those people shout, Allah, subhanAllah, shout, let's go and fight them. But we are not reasonable, number one. And they did not follow Allah's messenger's instruction. They did not follow the Prophet Muhammad. We will hear what the ulama say about them. And what the Prophet said about them. What the companions say about them, inshallah. So these are the evidences that articulate those positions that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had mentioned. We had read about him, alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, while explaining these narrations in his Sharh Sahih Muslim, he says, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, ajma al-ulama yankul al-ijma. He says, ajma al-ulama ala wujubiha ya'ani ta'atul ulama. He says, ajma al-ulama ala wujubiha. The scholars are agreed. There is consensus that it is obligatory to obey the leaders. Fi ghayri ma'asiyatin. In as long as they have not commanded us to do that which is wrong, obey them. When they have not said do something that is wrong, obey them. وَعَلَىٰ تَحْرِيمِهَا فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ. And that it is prohibited that we obey them when they command us to do something that is haram. Not something that is not clear to even you that you speak that it is haram. It is not clear. Some people say, they say, there are some loads that have arrived at the seaport. Is it halal that we should pay the port charges? You start thinking, he is not sure that it's haram. He said, no, it's haram. Allah only commanded us to pay zakat, so I will not pay. If they get hold of you, you will regret that you did not pay. So it is not, you do not disobey them in things that are not clear to you yourself that they are haram. You disobey them, for example, they say everybody must commit zina. No, 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 you do not commit zina. Everybody must divorce his wife right now, whether he likes it or not. No, no, you do not do that. Everybody must start drinking alcohol. No, you do not do that. So you do not obey them in things that are clearly haram. He says, alayhi salatu wassalam, inna al-halala bayinun, wa inna al-harama bayinun. He says, wa bayinahuma umuru mushtabiha. When it's not clear to obey the Amir, because that one is clear that you should obey the Amir. So, al-Imam al-Nawawi sheds more light, alayhi rahmatullah, on that we must obey the Umara, whether they are pious people or they are as harsh as Hajjaj bin Yusuf. I tell people, I said we have read history of nations of the world. We are now even reading the history of people in the world. I do not know people today that have the kind of power that people like Hajjaj had. Today, they do not have such power. I do not think George Bush, even when he's a kafir, can line up people and start asking them, what did you do yesterday? And then kill him. What did you do? They cut off his head. What did you do? Can he do that? He can't. But they did that. They just gave the order. So if it is a Muslim that is like that, la samaha Allah, he is to be obeyed. Except when he is commands you to do something that is haram. Then there is no obedience to him. And Imam al-Nawawi also says, alayhi rahmatullah, that in these ahadith that we read, he said, وَفِيهِ الْحَصُّ عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ. These ahadith contain exhortation that we should listen to the leaders and obey them. وَإِن كَانَ الْمُتَوَلِّي ظَالِمًا even when that leader is an oppressor, a Sufan, someone who sheds blood, that leader, even when he's a leader that sheds the blood of the Muslims, he's a violent, he's a wrongdoer, if you obey him, فَيُؤْتَى حَقَّهُ مِنَ الطَّاعَةِ, that leader must be given his rights as far as obeying him is concerned. وَلَا يُخْرَجُ عَلَيْهِ, you do not rebel against that kind of a leader. وَلَا يُخْلَعُ, you do not say, no, we are going to remove him. بَلْ يُتَبَرَّعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي كَشْفِ أَذَاهُ. He says, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So rather what you should do is, يُتَبَرَّعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, go down to Allah. Tone yourself before Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Obey Allah more. Ask him, Allah, this leader, we don't want him. As you are asking the leader, as you are asking Allah that you don't want the leader, you must not also curse the leader. You must obey. At the same time, you pray to Allah, Allah, this leader, we don't want him. He says, يُتَبَرَّعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you must go down in complete submission and obedience. No, tone yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what you should do. فِي كَشْفِ أَذَاهُ, regarding the removal of his difficulty, وَدَفْءِ شَرَّهُ, and that his evil should be put away from you, وَإِصْلَاحِهِ, and that he should be set aright, his affairs should be rectified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at, Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, these hadiths indicate that, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that تُعَدُّونَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ, تَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't say go out and start shouting. And these things are things from the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The implication of saying this is that you must know that it's not just a talk. So nothing will change its ruling except hadith. So don't stand up and come and say, now, Allah says, Jaidu ladina kafaru. You don't understand the Quran better than the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. If you say you know the Quran better than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll tell you that is a statement of kufr. We will not tell you that you're a kafir, but you have uttered a statement of kufr. There is difference between the two. Uttering a statement of kufr and actually being a kafir. You are not also more knowledgeable in Arabic and Quran and all these sciences than these are imam. But even at that, if you bring the statement of an imam, it must have a mustanad, a point of lean, a place where from where the verse, the statement is picked. All these ahadith we are saying, they affirm these statements of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةِ واجتمع الناس عليه ورضوا به ومن غلبهم بالسيف حتى صار خليفة وسمي أمير المؤمنين. We are explaining this statement of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. The evidences are these ahadith that we had mentioned. There is a matter, those statements of Imam al-Nawawi is taken from Sharif Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Imara. I like to encourage each and every one of us to read it. It's now in English. Why Muslims is in English? So don't give an excuse of me, but son Larven Chipa, you cast on Turenchi? Kaze, Kabin Tike, so? Go and check it. Go and look at it. Kajo, Kaje, Kagenshi. Oh, Kigenshi, so? So, there is no excuse for anyone. Look at it, read those ahadith and think about them. Kitab al-Imara, Sahih Muslim. If you have Arabic, try to check also the sharh of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Al-Minhaj of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. See sharh is Sahih Muslim Ibn al-Hajjaj. You find benefit, inshallah. So there is also a question that comes to mind. Who is an Amir? If they say Sultan says people should fast, then I don't agree that that one is our leader. Is it true? Yaradua is leader of Muslims in Nigeria. Say me, I don't believe that one. Is it true? who is an Amir? Man huwa al-Amir? Regarding whom these hadith points, or to whom these hadith points, who is the Amir? You say al-Amir, or you can say al-Imam, or al-Sultan, or Wali al-Amr. Huwa man ijtama' al-nasu alayhi wa aqarru lahu bil-imama. Al-Amir huwa man ijtama' al-nasu alayhi wa aqarru lahu bil-imama. The Amir is the person that the people agree, this is the leader. Wa aqarru lahu bil-imama, and they affirm his leadership. Where is the leader? This is him. So where is the leader of the Muslims? This is it. This does not mean that every individual in the Muslim entity must believe that. But once the Sawadul A'zam believe that this is our leader, that is their leader. If you ask me, Ustaz, what is the evidence for this definition? I say a hadith. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you want to bring another definition, you must bring the hadith that shows that definition. Yes, most times when you give discussions like this, people like to say, oh, Talib, you come and start talking. Evidence, hadith. This definition we have mentioned is from the Prophet's statement, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ataakum wa amrukum jami'un ala rajulin wahidin yuridu an yashukka asakum aw yufarriqa jama'atakum faqtuluhu. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, man ataakum wa amrukum jami'un ala rajulin wahidin. Anyone who comes unto you when your affairs is agreed upon for one single person amongst you, it means man ijtama alayhi an-nas is the leader. Do we understand? The Prophet said, anyone who comes when you have already agreed on one of you as the leader. So it means the one that we agree on him as the leader is our leader. He says, when someone now comes after him, you read an yashukka alayhi, say, no, me, I don't agree that that one is the leader. Oh, you farika jama'atakum, or you want to say, no, me, I have my own followers. Me, I don't agree that. It says, faqtulu, kill that second person. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. So don't say, is it authentic? It's authentic. It's in Sahih Muslim. Check it. Kitabul Imara. It says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man atakum wa amrukum jami'un ala rajulin wahidin يريد أن يشق أصابكم أو يفرق جماعتكم. What did he say? فقتلوه. So it means those that are the one person that the Muslims agree upon, this is our leader, that is the leader. The second evidence for that statement about who the leader is a statement from Umar bin al-Khattab رضي الله عنه Abu Hafs. When he was stabbed, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed by Muljam. He stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu while he was in Salah. The hadith is reported, very lengthy one in Sahih Muslim. When Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, he died, I think, 2 days later or so. He was bleeding, radiallahu anhu. So he assembled the group of six to appoint a leader for the Muslims. The six most eminent amongst the companions of Allah's Messenger. Sallallahu Uthman ibn Affan, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Zubair ibn Awam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and that. And then when he assembled them, he said they should pick one of them to become the Amir. What did he say afterwards? Radiallahu anhu. He says, فَإِذَا اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ اجتماع. The فَإِذَا اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ فَمَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ فَضْرِبُوا رَأْسَهُ. The فَإِذَا اجْتَمَعُوا شرط. Once they are agreed that this is the leader, and he says, فَمَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ, anyone who comes out of them, we don't agree that that is the leader. He says, أَوْ فَضْرِبْ رَأْسَهُ أَوْ فَضْرِبُوا رَأْسَهُ. Cut off his head. You know him, radiallahu anhu. And he's not saying that statement except that he was speaking from that first hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. So if you ask, who is the Amir? You say, Al-Amir, huwa man ijtama' alayhi an-nas. The people agree upon him. This is our leader. Wa aqarru lahu bil imama. And they affirm his leadership. This leader of the Muslims, it is possible that he is leading over all of the Ummah. It is possible. Like when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa, or Abdullah ibn Uthman. You know, Abu Quhafa, his name is Uthman. The father of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a Sahaba too, radiallahu anhumah. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq ruled as a leader over all the lands of Islam. So did Umar. So did Uthman ibn Affan. So did Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the first 6 months by his son Al-Hassan. And then the rest, about 20 years thereafter by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And then on. Most of the lands of Islam, all of it, was under a single leadership until recently. So if all the lands of the Muslims say, this is our leader, is their leader. When they say, no, it's no more our leader, it's no more their leader. So that is how the leader is established. But since the bifurcation of the Muslims, as large as the group of the Muslims can come together to have a leader, the better. Do we understand? If it is possible for all of Africa to have one single person as the leader of the Muslims, the better. If it is possible for all of Asia to have one single person as the leader of the Muslims, the better. The larger the entity, the better. Because it would mean the more unified it is under a single leadership. But in the case now, we have countries of the world. So when the people are Muslims, and the Muslims there do not say, no, we don't agree that he's their leader, then he's their leader. So if the Muslims of Nigeria do not say, we don't agree that Yar'Adua is the leader, he's the leader. If you say it's not the leader, bring evidence. If you say it's not the leader, we must see all the Muslims say, we don't agree that Yar'Adua is the leader. I don't think they can do it. Can they do it? The Muslims in Nigeria come and they write in newspaper. We are here by Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs. We have here declared that Yar'Adua is not the president. I'm sure the people who signed that document will not sleep in their houses that night. So, اجتمعوا عليه اجتمعوا على رياسته وأقروا له بالإمامة. So he said, if you don't agree, go to court. They went to court, they lost. The court said, no, he's the leader, he's the leader. And the people said, no, we don't agree. If they do, I come out and kill all of them. We say, oh, he got there with Galaba. So the same thing in other lands of Islam. But don't forget, the more the Muslims of all the places can come together, the better. But when we can't have, the larger the entity, the better. So, and then the leadership comes. So in the level of perhaps the state, there are say, the state people. In the level of the city, for example, all of these Zaria perhaps can have an Amir. They have. But he is also responsible. He knows that he's responsible to someone who is higher above. The person can issue a statement to be read on Radio Nigeria without giving him notice that I remove you as Amir. He knows, so he's under that. He's under that. The other is under that. And then like that. So the larger the entity, the better. Don't forget, the leader is the one that the Muslims agree to his leadership. So once they agree, and he has the right to compel them to his leadership, he has the authority. Many people say, I'm the leader. I'm the leader of the Muslims. And I tell the people, yes, the leader of the Muslims in places like the campus. The Muslim students say, yes, it's Amir of MSS. Those people are better called Ru'asa, Allahu A'lam. But the Amir of the MSS so-called, or the Amir of groups so-called, they have limited power. They don't really have authority. Let me give you an example. If an Amir of an organization marry a sister out, because her father refused to marry the girl out, he says, Al-Waliyu, Al-Sultanu, Al-Sultanu, Waliyu man la waliya laha. The hadith is authentic. So I marry the girl out to you. Inna atena kafa ukuku. If you do that, it's a very fast one. If you do that and the father of the girl can just get 1,000 naira to bribe some mupo, you know where you will sleep that night. So where is the authority? So where is the authority? The Amir is the one who has the authority. He has the authority. And he is followed by the people. Whether he is followed by the people because they like it or they follow him because they don't have a choice. Don't forget, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fi makrahika, fi manshatika, wa makrahika. Whether you like to obey or you are just obeying like that. That one who has commanded you that you must obey is the leader. This is based on these ahadith that we had read earlier and these statements from the scholars of Islam. Another quick question. How does the leader come by amongst Muslims? How should we appoint the leader? Are you saying that even the one who was voted in democracy should be accepted as the leader? Is that what you are saying, Ustaz? That is what I'm saying, but with explanation. There are two legal ways to appoint a leader in Islam. There is a third way by which somebody can become a leader, but it is illegal. But the fact that that third way is illegal, it does not stop the validity, it does not disturb the validity of its leadership. The first two legal ways are those that have been mentioned by the scholars. And the hadith is authentic. Also, the very lengthy hadith of Omar that we are talking about in Sahih Bukhari. The first one is, Imma bishura. Shura does not mean Senate or House of Representatives. Even when linguistically it means that, consultation, consultative forum. But Shura in the Sharia means what the people of Hil wal Iq, people of eminence and knowledge and personality, agree to. Like Omar did, radiallahu anhu, when Uthman bin Affan was to be appointed, radiallahu anhum. So he called the most eminent amongst the companions. So don't say, oh, the Senate too, is Shura, it's not Shura. It's Shura linguistically, but it is not Shura technically in the Sharia. Because the Shura in the Sharia does not take people who give bribes. The Shura in the Sharia does not take people who come and then throw chairs upon themselves. It does not take people who come and then begin to fight in the public and begin to box. And the NCA is showing the one who gave the one the box, the other. That is not the Shura. Linguistically, don't forget, we say it is Shura. But technically in the Sharia, the Shura comprises of the people who are people of knowledge and eminence in the community. If that is what you want to look at, many of the people who form the houses of representatives of Senate and all those, Allahu A'lam whether they will be there. So the first way the Amir can come legally in the Sharia is that the people of eminence and knowledge sit down and they say, you are the Amir, he's the Amir. And the people are saying that, hey, they have announced the Amir, oh, he's the Amir. The Shura, legal name. And the evidence for that is the fact that Omar radiallahu anhu got Uthman bin Affan appointed as the next Amir by what? Shura. So why does it become an evidence? It is not prophet. We say, look, Mu'azzam al-Sahaba kanu hadirin. The Sahabas were around. Nobody came to say, no, we don't agree. So even when it is fi'l al-Sahaba or qawl al-Sahaba, la na'rif lahu al-mukhalafa. Or la na'rif lahu mukhalif. We don't know anyone who came to say, no, we don't agree. So since amongst the companions, since we don't know that, we are going to hold it as what ijma al-Sahaba. And it is not correct to oppose that ijma. So this ijma makes us understand that this shura, with consultation of the people of eminence, we can appoint an Amir for the Muslims. First legal way. The second legal way the Amir can be appointed is what? Bil istikhlaf. Istikhlaf. By the dying Amir appointing and say you are the Amir. The dying Amir appointing and says you are the Amir. And that was the case with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. when he was dying, radiallahu anhu, after about over 2 years of his leadership as a Khalifa, he appointed Umar radiallahu anhu as the Amir. The same Hujjah, the companions were all around at the time. Nobody came to say, Abu Bakr, me I know Griyo. So that is evidence that it is ijma from amongst the companions. And it is not right for anybody to come and say, no, me I don't agree. So this ijma is tadallu bimithlihi. Its kind is used as an evidence. So two legal ways. The first one is ikhlaq. The second one is what? Shura. Two legal ways. Any other way is illegal. Which is that perhaps with the kind of democracy that we have. So you go and vote, you know, they start campaigning about and then the illegal way. Or the Amir can come and say, kill everybody, kill everybody. He announced on the radio, fellow Nigerians, this is because himself general, anything. Say, I have placed all around the radio stations, tank. Anybody who comes out to say, I'm not the president, I will kill him. In the night, he had fellow Nigerians, I am anything, and he starts saying, Bill Galaba. You say, yes, that Galaba is not correct, but his leadership is what? Affirmed. In those ahadith that we had quoted initially from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are still evidences for this hadith. Do we understand? That is not to say that we are saying that it is right for somebody to do that, but if he does it, the leadership is right. All the rights that we will give to a pious leader, they are the same rights we are going to give to that same person who has come in as a ghalib. What is the evidence for that one too? Al-Imam ibn Battal al-Maghribi al-Maliki alayhi rahmatullah. He was quoted by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari and with Iqrar alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Imam ibn Battal rahimahullah said, Ajma al-Fuqaha, Ijma again. He's quoting Ijma. He says, Ajma al-Fuqaha ala wujubi ta'ati sultan al-Mutaghallib. It says, the fuqaha, the scholars of Islamic jurisprudence, they are agreed, they have a consensus that the leader, it is obligatory to follow the leader al-mutajalli, who comes and oppresses the people, dominates them, and then becomes their leader. It says there is ijma on that. So ijma, ijma, ijma. Don't forget, things are established in the Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, Qiyas al-Sahih. But these first three, they take precedence over any other thing in the manner rules are established. Anything that will change these things must also come from Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, Qiyas, the Fahmin Sahih. Not just, hey, Allah says, I always say this. I say people gather up 20 people. And someone comes and says, قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Are you the one Allah is referring to as an individual? Allah is referring to the whole of the Muslims. Just like he says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, is referring to all of the Muslims. So if all of the Muslims must be referred to أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, one person will lead the salah, one person will call for the salah, is it not? The same thing the jihad. One person will lead the jihad. That's why he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iza stunfirtum fanfiru, when you are called upon. He says, iza nudi ali salat, when you are called upon for salat. So when he says, jahidu, you all should fight. He's not talking to you alone. So when the leader does not make istinfar, he does not call you istinfiru, he says, why is Sunfirtum, he does not call you. You sit down there. So that is how the leader is to be appointed according to the Sharia of Islam. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, we said he lived at the time of Hajjaj, and many of his children were killed in the fitna of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, some of which we have mentioned at the beginning. There are more than that. The fitna of Hajjaj bin Yusuf They are far, far much more than what we have mentioned. He killed the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Ibn Zubayr was killed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf inside the Kaaba. That year, the people who went for Hajj, because Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he laid siege from Ta'if. Ta'if is a city inside a valley. So it has food, it has water, it has many things that Makkah does not have. So his army, over 60,000 people, they have opportunity to eat and drink and do so many things. And it was at the time of Hajj. So those people, when he was marching on into Makkah, he was marching on against Abdullah ibn Zubayr to cut him off, fight him, and then remove him as the leader. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, as the leader, because Abdullah ibn Zubayr declared the invalidity of the leadership of Marwan ibn Hakam. I don't have a right to say he declared rebellion, because I can't say a companion rebelled. So you say he declared the invalidity of the leadership of Marwan ibn Hakam radiallahu anhu. So Hajjaj was the leader of the soldiers that was ordered by Marwan to counter the uprisings, yes, the uprisings led by Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr is from the most learned people in this ummah, radiallahu anhu. But he made a mistake, because it was fitna. He said, alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala, taku fitnatan la tusibanna alladhina zalamu minkum khafa. It means when there is fitna, it is not only the zalimun that have problems. The salihun also will have problems. So Ibn Zubayr had problems, but don't forget, the Prophet had told us, alayhi salam, tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Allah has forgiven him already, radiyallahu anhu, even when he erred. He was the first child to be born into this ummah after the Prophet migrated to Medina. His mother was Asma bint Abi Bakr, and his father was Zubayr ibn Awwam, one of those who were given the glad tidings of Al-Jannah before they died. So he's not like any other person, just like Musa alayhi salam was not like any other person in his time. Because Musa alayhi salam, Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah, first Al-Imam ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in Madarij al-Salikin, he was saying, alayhi rahmatullah, that there are some people, when they commit some sins, Allah will forgive them. But if some people commit those sins, Allah will punish them. He says, when Allah sent the Torah to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you know, the hadith is authentic in Silsilat al-Sahihah, that all the books that were revealed from the heavens, aside the Quran, Allah sent them down from the heaven as a book. All other books except the Quran, Allah sent them take as a book. So he sent Torah to Musa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. He received this Quran. The reason why I said Allahu Akbar, I am the speaker. So that revelation of the book is something that is great. The Prophet will do that to alayhi salatu wa salam. Do you understand? So Allah revealed these books, and Musa alayhi salam got the Torah. He got to where Bani Israel was, and he slammed the Torah on the ground in anger. If anybody does that to the Quran, it's a kafir, or he has acted upon the action of kufr. Do you understand? That action is an act of kufr. But Musa just fought it again, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he grabbed the beard of a Nabi. If any other person does that, just like the Badriyun, he says, if Alu ma shaitun ghafartu lakum, do what you like, I'm forgiving you. So if you come and say, Kudama ibn Mazun drank alcohol at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was flogged, we say, what concerns you? Allah says, ghafartu lakum. Because he's from the Badriyun, he's from those who fought in the Battle of Badr. So Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was harnessed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf. In that year, it was the time of Hajj, subhanAllah. It was a great fitna. Those who had made Tawaf al-Ifada for Hajj, and they had made their sight. They had made Tawaful Qudum. They could not go to Arafah and Muna because Hajjaj was on the way. And those who had come from Arafah and they had come from Mina, they could not come to make Tawaful Ifada because Hajjaj was on the way. People went to people like Abdullah ibn Umar, they were asking them for fatwa. How is this our Hajj? He said, radiallahu anhu, and huma, to perform the Hajj as it is possible. This is the way Allah has made the Hajj this year. So some people could not go to Arafah, and he said, Al-Hajj wa Arafah. People could not go to Arafah, Hajjaj is on the way. People who are in Arafah, they could not come to make Tawaful Ifadah, Hajjaj is on the way. So everybody made the Hajj like that and went back to his city. So in the end, Hajjaj came in. He started shooting some catapults and boulders of rocks against the people who came in to take solace, because he was closing up upon them until they took solace inside Haram. Inside the Haram, the Kaaba, the Masjid al-Haram, they came in there. Hajjaj came in there. He killed Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He crucified Hajjaj. He crucified ibn Zubayr. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He cut off his head and he did whatever he liked to do. The companion of Allah's Messenger. So those who were alive at the time, people like Anas bin Malik, listen to what they say. You see, it is important to explain the fujur of Hajjaj. So you know that some of what the people you see today and you think that they have made all the fujur of this dunya, they have not made anything compared to those people. But that did not make the companions to exceed the boundaries that Allah has created for them. So do not wala ta'ataju. Inna Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu said, Nahana kubara'una min ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas bin Malik is from the young companions. At the time of the Battle of Badr, Anas bin Malik was about 14 years old. The time of Badr. So he said the most eminent ones and people like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, were far older than that. Umar radiallahu anhu was far older than that. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu had a child who is in the midst of Anas. And that was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Do you understand? So Anas bin Malik said, the eminent, our elders amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu, nahana, they prohibit us. They say, la tasubbu umara'akum. They say to us, do never curse your leaders. وَلَا تَغُشُّهُمْ. Do not deceive them. وَلَا تُبْغِضُوهُمْ. Do not hate them. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاصْبِرُوا. Fear Allah and be patient. فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ قَرِيبٌ. Because the matter is near, Allah will soon liberate you from the shackles of these oppressive leaders. His children were killed. He is a companion. He served the Prophet for 10 years. And yes, this is the most oppressive of leaders. He's still telling the people, be patient. Just like some scholars are saying today to the Muslims. And the Muslims, they don't mind them. They are just sitting there. They want us to fold our arms. They don't have power to fight. Anas bin Malik didn't have power to fight. He had the power. But the verses of the Quran, the statements of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these advices from the eminent companions, will not allow him to do that. So anyone who wants to do that today, you say, leaving all these things behind, we're asking, where is the dalil from Kitab? Where is the dalil from Sunnah? Where is the dalil from Aqwal al-Sahaba? Where is it? What the person will say, are you saying we should fold our arms? I say, yes, we should fold our arms. Are we not weak? Look at, brothers, the kuffar, they are doing this. Hey, the Muslims, they are killing people. They are doing that. Tarwizul yani atifa. Just to wind the people. No dalil from Kitab and Sunnah. So you say, no, ulama say this, based on this hadith, based on this verse of Quran. They say, no, are you saying in Quran, say, after Allah said, Jaidu lazina kufa kabar. You say, Jaidu, that you don't understand? So,
And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in Usul Sunnah at his beginning, he says, Usul Sunnah in Dana atamassuk bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillah. The foundations of Islam is holding firmly to these things that people like Anas bin Malik and others were saying, radiallahu anhu. Also, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, we have just three more narrations to quote, inshallah. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, that asar from Anas bin Malik was reported by Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah, and the isnad is authentic. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhuma, because Hudhayfa was a companion, his father was a companion, radiallahu anhuma. His father died in the Battle of Uhud. He was killed mistakenly during the battle, and he forgave the person who killed his father. So the Prophet loved him and brought him closer to himself. He became Sahibu Siri Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam, radiallahu anhu. He said, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that yakunu ba'di a'immatun. He said, the Prophet said, there will be some leaders after me. La yahtaduna bi hudaya. They will not take guidance by my guidance. Wala yastannuna bi sunnati. And they will not act upon my sunnah. وَسَيَكُومُ فِيكُمْ رِجَالِ. There will be some men amongst them. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينِ فِي جُسْبَانِ الْإِنْسِ. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَسَيَكُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالِ. Some men will come from them. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينِ فِي جُسْبَانِ الْإِنْسِ. Their hearts are the hearts of shayateen in the bodies of men. Leaders. The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam. Hudhayfa said, radiallahu anhu, Kultu kayfa asnau ya Rasulallah in adraktu zalik. What will I do if I still live at that time? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Tasma'u wa tuti'u lil amir. This amir, that his heart is the heart of shaitan in the body of human beings. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Tasma'u wa tuti'. You should listen and still obey that amir. Wa in daraba zaharaka. Even if he beats your back like a snake, he's beating you like a snake, even if he does that, isma'u wa ati. To listen to him and obey him. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, listen to him and still obey him. That hadith was reported by Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah. All of these affirm and establish what we have been quoting from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He also said, alayhi rahmatullah, what about those people who now rebel against the leader? Who are they? What did the Imam say about them? Radiallahu anhu. He says, وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ إِمَامٍ مِّنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَقَدْ كَانَ النَّاسُ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَيْهِ وَأَقَرُوا لَهُ بِالْخِلَافَةِ بِأَيِّ وَجْهٍ كَانَ بِالرِّضَى أَوْ بِالْغَلَبَةِ فَقَدْ شَقَّ هَذَا الْخَارِجُ عَصَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وخالف الآثار عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن مات الخارج عليه مات ميتة جاهلية. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, ومن خرج على إمام من أئمة المسلمين. The one who still does not listen to all of these that has been said, and yet he goes out in rebellion against the leader of the Muslims. وقد كان الناس اجتمعوا عليه. This leader, the people had assembled around him as their leader, وَأَقَرُوا لَهُ بِالْخِلَافَةِ, and they affirm his leadership. They affirm his leadership, بِأَيِّ وَجْهٍ كَانَ, in whichever way he became the leader, بِالْرِضَى أَوْ بِالْغَلَبَةِ, whether they were pleased, they appointed him legally, or he came upon the leadership illegally. He says, فَقَدْ شَقَّ هَذَا الْخَارِجُ عَصَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That rebel has broken the oneness of the Muslims. وَخَالَفَ الْآثَارَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That person has acted against the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فَإِنْ مَاتَ الْخَارِجُ عَلَيْهِ. If this rebel dies upon what he is upon his rebellion, مَاتَ مِيْتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. He has died in the way people used to die in the days of Jahiliyyah. You know how? There were no leaders. People just kill themselves. You kill this one, you kill this one. It was the survival of the fittest. He says, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَحِلُّ كِتَالُ السُّلْطَانِ. It is not لَا يَحِلُّ. It is not permissible to fight the leader of the Muslims. وَلَا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِ. It is not also permissible to rebel against the leader. لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. This is not permissible for anyone amongst the people. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ. Anyone who does that. فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِئٌ عَلَى غَيْرِ السُّنَّةِ وَالطَّرِيقِ. Anyone who does that, فَهُوَ, because he has done that, هُوَ عَلَى غَيْرِ السُّنَّةِ. The person is not upon sunnah, وَالطَّرِيقِ and sirat mustaqim. He is not upon it. He is upon his own hawa. Anyone who comes against the leader is upon his own hawa. And that's why it was easy. When people started to say, the leaders are kuffar, these leaders are kuffar, this, it was easy. The ulama said they were mubtari'ah. Is that not what they say? So the ones who go against and start to cause the leaders and say, make the fear of them, say, go against them, fight them, kill them. Somebody said in an audio that if he has the power, if he has the authority, from the first places he's going to attack is Makkah and Medina. Yes, he has it in an audio. From those who will claim to be supporting quote-unquote jihad, fighting, rebellion, say, if I have the power like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he will go to the first places he will attack is Makkah and Medina. He says he wants to liberate it. So, you will not do that except that you consider those people who are leaders over these lands either as kuffar, or you consider your actions as right. If you consider your actions as right, we ask, where is the evidence? If you consider them also as kuffar, we ask, where is the evidence? Because takfir has its own shurut. Takfir, declaring people kuffar, it has its own shurut. These are a few from the matters related to dealing with leaders. We try to mention who the leaders are and all this. We hope that it's been understood. These are the reasons why the companions did not rise against Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And those who rose against Hajjaj, they were discouraged by those who did not. Don't try it. Hajjaj will kill all of you. Hajjaj, in the whole of it, he killed over 160,000 Muslims. It was said that sometimes Hajjaj, because he was the leader, he was the leader, he led the Salah. He would stand on the minbar on the day of Jummah. He would say, you, go and cut off those heads. On the day of Jummah, he will say, you. Sometimes he will stand and say, I'm looking at some heads that I want to cut. People start dodging. Yes, the companions did not say, go out against Hajjaj bin Yusuf. In the end, Hajjaj bin Yusuf died from the dua of one of those that he killed, Sa'id ibn Jubayr. And today, what had happened with Hajjaj and people like him is a lesson for us. That what the Prophet had said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that even when the leaders oppress you, beat you, fight you, kill you, he says, give them their rights and ask Allah for your rights. This is the limit that Allah has set from the mouth of from the revelation he gave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not right for any Muslim to exceed these bounds. Anyone who wants to act away from all this is acting imma based on shubhat or based on what? Shahawat. We ask Allah for his refuge from acting against this, from these two things. Imma from shubha or from shahwa. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfiru lahi wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do shout Allah.
Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us to witness this time that our noble lecturer has finished his own topic. And inshallah, I will now acknowledge the presence of Dr. Bashir Bello.
Sayyid al-Aqwal wal-Af'al wal-Nusud wal-Idafat. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illahu wahdahu la sharika lahu al-alimu bil-kulliyyat wal-jizliyyat. الذي استوى على العرش استواء يليق به بلا كيفيات واشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي ارسله بالايات الواضحات ورضي الله تعالى عن السادات التابعين والعلماء العاملين والائمه الاربعه المجتهدين ومقلديهم باحسان الى يوم الدين وبعد My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I concede to the duly constituted chairman who has come out of consultation in the presence of eminent scholars, the person who delivered the lecture, and he should continue to chair. I would like to say a few words, but I think the lectures for the talk that our brother had given must have generated a lot of questions. As I can see a few papers passing through me, and that to gain the benefit of this talk, I think we should fully discuss most of these questions first. Then I can make a closing remark. I have one or two very important things which I consider very important to say after the question. I think I have benefited a lot from the lecture, and I believe that maybe the questions that will be raised and which the brother would answer would also be of great benefit to us. Assalamu alaikum.
And inshallah, I will acknowledge the presence of the former Amir in person of Malam Umar Abdul Karim. We say, we are welcome, sir. Inshallah.